And good morning. Welcome to the Morning Drip. I'm Donovan. Today is Wednesday, August 6th. It is currently 7:30 a.m. on this. Well, I can't really say that it's a beautiful morning. But then again, any day that you wake up and you're not 6 feet under, I guess we'll call that a beautiful morning. It's a little foggy out there. So, you know, drive carefully. Turn your lights on. I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those that actually, I run my lights no matter what the condition happens to be. If I'm in the car, I just instinctively turn my lights on. I just like running my lights. I want people to be able to see me. I don't care if it is scorching outside. It is so bright that I just can't see anything because it's so bright, but you're going to see my lights. So be careful out there, folks, especially now that it's a little bit of fog out there, So, oh man, we're in the middle of the week, heading toward the weekend. Let's check in for the weather. It is currently 73 degrees, and that real feel is 73 degrees. But what are we looking at as far as weather today? Well, today we're going to have rain this morning. Thunderstorms this afternoon. Tonight, we're looking at thunderstorms in the evening with some rain overnight. Our temperatures are going to range anywhere from 72 for the low to 86 is the high, with the real feel from 72 to 93. We're looking at a 70, if I could speak today, 70% chance of rain. The moon phase is in waxing gibbous. Sunrise was at 6:54 this morning. Not that you can really tell, and sunset will be at 8:27. Tomorrow we'll have light rain throughout the day, and tomorrow night we'll have rain in the evening with overcast skies. Again, temperatures will be a little better, 71 to 84, with the real feel being 71 to 89. Sun will rise in the morning at 6:55, and it'll set tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, at 8:26. So it seems, we're going to talk about local news here, it seems that the city of Tifton has finally narrowed down to one candidate. One. So that means he's pretty much it for city manager. Now, if you'll recall, a year ago, roughly, if not dead on it, they released the city of Tifton's very first female city manager. And she was a young woman, and I did have some reservations about that. I'm not being an ageist or even a reverse ageist, if you will. But I do believe that in certain positions, you do need a certain amount of experience. And it's just my opinion. But if you are in your 30s, you do not have the experience required to be in charge of a city. That's just me. Now, did she seem to do an okay job? I can't say one way or the other. I didn't see anything that would have required her to be released. But apparently, the powers that be did. So they released her. And then we had an interim city manager who was the finance director. His name escapes me right now. And honestly, I thought that they were probably going to wind up making him permanent. But apparently, that's not the case. He is, I guess he's going to go back to his finance director status only. But this guy they're bringing in, his last name is Shoebridge, and he's currently a city administrator in Minnesota, don't you know? He's from Florida, I believe. Went to college in Florida. I don't know what his age is, but at the next county, the next city council meeting, rather, they're going to make it permanent, according to news reports. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this goes. I still hold to my opinion that we had an issue with the old boys club, and that is the reason why Emily Beeman was, I can't say fired, because they did come to an agreement as far as I remember reading, but she was released, let's say. And I still hold to this opinion that it was an old boys club issue, because as far as I know, our current mayor, Julie Smith, is the first female mayor that the city of Tifton has ever had. Now, we've had female members of council before. I mean, whenever I worked for the city from 1999 to 2009, I believe we had, I know we had at least one female council person, and I haven't gone back and looked through the annals of time to see if I'm correct on this, but I think Julie is the first female mayor that the city of Tifton has ever had. If I'm incorrect, you can let me know. We have a text number, 229-234-1307. We currently do not have a call-in number. If we get this show off the ground and do it more on a regular basis, then I will make that happen. But right now, you can just send me a text, 229-234-1307. If you've got information that tells me that I'm wrong, or you've got any insight on this matter, you can text that. And I will not, of course, reveal your number. I mean, privacy is key, unless you want me to. You know, if you can text and say, hey, this is Joe Smith, you can say I said this. then that, you know, that's what we'll do. That is what we'll do. But we'll see how this goes. It's been interesting. The city managers that have come and gone with the city of Tifton. When I hired in, the city manager was Charlie Howell. Big old man. Big old man. I mean, big in stature and I guess big in personality. He could scare the bejeebas out of you for sure. And I think he retired 2006, I believe. And then eventually we had my good friend, former boss, all of that, Larry Reiner. I always thought he did a pretty good job as city manager, but he really wasn't city manager while I was there. We had moved on after CityNet being purchased by Plant Telephone, and we had transitioned over. So I think Larry became city manager after that. I don't know what year it was. I could probably ask him. I talked to him about once a month now. But I remember one city manager that was brought in after Charlie Howell retired, and damn, his name escapes me right now. But he was the reason why CityNet eventually got sold off. It was like they brought him in, and again, this is just my opinion, but they brought him in to get the albatross that was around the neck of the city of Tifton, get it gone, basically. And that's eventually what happened, for better or worse. I'm not entirely sure. I could go down that rabbit hole, but I'm not gonna. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a bit to see what else is going on in the world, locally, state, national, you know the deal. Hey, and good morning. Welcome back to The Morning Drip. I am Donovan. It is currently 7:50 a.m. on this Wednesday, August the 6th. So let's take a look at some of the headlines, national headlines. What do we got here? So judge considers whether Florida's alligator Alcatraz detention center violates environmental law. On August 6th in Miami, U.S. District Court will hold a hearing to consider a lawsuit challenging Florida's alligator Alcatraz detention center located in the Everglades. The lawsuit initiated by Friends of the Everglades alleges the state and federal officials failed to properly assess the environmental consequences in accordance with the National Environmental Policy Act, enacted 55 years ago. Conservation advocates, along with the Muskogee tribe, are requesting a preliminary injunction to pause both the operation and continued construction of the state-established detention center located near ecologically sensitive wetlands. Opponents warn the project threatens protected plants and reverses billions in restoration, while Florida officials argue the site at an airstrip with a 10,500-foot runway is ideal for federal immigration enforcement. The hearing's outcome may determine whether construction continues and jurisdiction disputes and claims that federal agencies improperly authorized the project without proper environmental review. I don't know what your feelings are on this whole alligator Alcatraz, but I think it's shameful. 100% shameful. It's a damn concentration camp is what it is. You know what the old adage is? Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And we're doing exactly that. Back during World War II, and of course this is appropriate because today is the 80th anniversary of the day that we dropped the very first nuclear bomb in human history. We dropped it on Hiroshima 80 years ago today and killed a few hundred thousand people. Not all instantly. I want to say 70-something thousand, 74,000, whatever the number is that I remember reading earlier today, succumbed to radiation sickness and what have you over the next 6 months after that. Then, of course, about a week later, a week later, we bombed Nagasaki. Or is it Nagasaki? I'm sorry. Let me get that pronunciation correct. And during World War II, and all I can say is this, if you know who George Takei is, and if you're a Trekkie, then you know exactly who he is. You need to look him up and read or listen to any of the media that's out there where he talks about his experience in basically being put in concentration camps for Japanese Americans. These are people that had come to the United States. They were either here on green cards or had become citizens, but because of the fact that they were Japanese, they were rounded up and they were put in camps. Because our fear, our idiocy, was that we had a sleeping enemy within. And that was just not true. You can go back, you can do all the research you want, but there's absolutely nothing that ever pointed to the fact that these Japanese Americans were a threat to the United States of America. These were not the people that attacked us. These were the people that had come here for the American dream, the American way of life, and their lives were utterly destroyed. Our military would go into these Japanese Americans' homes and give them very little time to gather up some personal items or what have you before they were carted off to camps. And when everything was said and done, we're talking people that had businesses. We're talking people that had jobs, people that had homes. And when everything was said and done, when they were finally released, if they didn't die in these damn camps, because some of them did, their homes were gone, their businesses were gone, they were essentially homeless, not unhoused. I hate that term. They were fucking homeless and they had nothing, all because of their race, their nationality, the fact that they were Japanese, but yet they were American, Japanese American. Again, either here on a green card or a visa, or they had become citizens. George Takei is a citizen. And it is heartbreaking to listen to his story. And how, through no fault of your own, that spirit within you is just destroyed by a country that welcomed you with open arms. But then because some of your former countrymen decided that it would be a good idea to, attack the great Satan or some nonsense like that, that everything that you had started out to build, your life, your family, your businesses, or whatever, was just summarily taken away from you, again, through no fault of your own. They weren't guilty of anything. And we're seeing the same parallels with these draconian raids and arrests by, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to be controversial, but this is the way I feel. Now, let me preface this before I say this next statement. I support law enforcement. I do. I think law enforcement is needed. It is a very important part of our democracy. We have laws. Those laws need to be adhered to. And when those laws are broken, we need mechanisms to detain, try, convict, sentence, the whole nine yards. So please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say as me being anti-police. I am not. I had friends within the police department when I worked for the city of Tifton. I know the current chief, worked with him for many years. But if you are currently an ICE agent and you are one of the people that are rounding up, quote, criminal illegals, you should be ashamed of yourself. You are nothing but a goon. And I put forth a request that if you are an ICE officer and you don't agree with what this regime is doing, quit. Go do something else. Now, I know that's easier said than done, especially considering that DHS is literally offering $50,000 signing bonuses to law enforcement officials to come join ICE. That's hard to turn down. It is very difficult to turn down. I understand that. But you need to sit down with yourself and have an internal conversation on what type of person you are. Look, I get it. We've got an immigration problem. We've got an illegal immigration problem. And to solve it is not to round up people that are not criminals. It's not to round up people that are just simply trying to make a living, eke out a better life for themselves and their family. Not to mention, they are a core part of the United States of America's economy. Us white folks ain't gonna go pick the damn vegetables and what have you out of the fields. We're just not. And shame on us, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. And, you know, Trump yesterday, basically, he has no filter. So yesterday he basically said that, these folks were built for it. And I'm like, holy crap. But I'm not surprised that he would say something like that. The idea that was sold to the American people was that what was flooding over our, quote, open border, which we did not have an open border, that is a misnomer. Complete bullshit. Should it have been a little tighter? Of course. But it's not like we just opened the gates and said, come on in. No, that's not the way it worked. And the people that lived along the border in Texas, I have read reports where they're like, none of this is happening. This was back last year. They were like, all this crap that they're claiming is not happening. None of it. And so we were sold. Not me, because I knew better. But the American people were sold on the fact that we've got this deluge of these criminals coming across the border. They're murderers. They're rapists. They have psychological and mental problems. None of that was true. That's not to say that you're not going to have some criminals. Hell, we have homegrown criminals. But none of that was true. And then they were like, well, we're only going to round up the ones with that have criminal records. False. 99%, and this is not a factoid that I'm going to hang my hat on, but I'm going to say 90% plus, let's go that way, of the people that they rounded up have no criminal record whatsoever, or it's a traffic violation or some misdemeanor thing. Not like they're murderers or rapists like Dear Leader keeps claiming they are. That's not true. You have innocent people, their lives destroyed, deported to countries that they've never been in, deported to a prison in El Salvador that is, by all measures, worse than Auschwitz. The only thing they haven't done yet is gas the inmates. And quite honestly, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't happen somewhere along the line. But if you currently work for ICE, you currently work for the Department of Homeland Security, you need to take a long, long, hard look at what you're doing, what you stand for, what you want your children to see you as. Do they see you as their hero or do they see you as a villain? Because I can almost guarantee you in the future, history is going to look back on this time in America as one of the worst human rights atrocities against our own people. And we'll wonder, what the hell happened? We'll wonder, what the hell happened? How did we let this get to this point? I'm not saying we don't have issues in this country. We do. Every country has issues. But you don't solve those issues by rounding up innocent people and putting them in concentration camps and claiming that you're doing this for the future of America, that you're America first. That's a bold-faced lie. And welcome back to the Morning Drip. It is currently 8:16 on this Wednesday morning, August 6th. Man, this year has flown by, definitely. One last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here is what's going on in Texas. And to a larger extent, how this is starting to affect other states. And not only those Democratic states like California and Illinois that are looking at fighting fire with fire, because that seems to be the only thing the Republicans understand now. And maybe, let me clarify, not Republicans per se, MAGA. Because you have, in my view, you have Republicans, and then you have MAGA Republicans. Just like in the Democratic Party, we have what I would consider just a true blue Democrat, and then you've got some excessively left-leaning progressive Democrats, which I don't agree with most of the time. Even though I consider myself a Democrat, I'm a centrist Democrat. But it seems that this deal with Texas, where Trump basically said, gave Abbott his orders to do whatever it takes basically to find five more Republican seats. And keep in mind, redistricting is only generally done once every 10 years when the census is done, because of the fact that you have people move in and move out. You have people of different races, minorities, what have you, that they move throughout the state. Maybe they move from one state to another. So once that census data comes in, they have to take a look at each state and go, okay, we need to redraw these so that everything, the idea is so that everything will be fair, that everybody is represented, because we live in a representative republic. It's not a democracy insofar as we all get to vote on legislation. That's just not tenable. When you have 340, 350 million people in the United States, and some bill comes up in the government, and you can't issue, okay, well, we need to call a vote next Tuesday, so everybody needs to get out and vote yay or nay on this. No, you just can't do it. Not when you have the size population that we have today. That's the reason why we have a representative republic. And, I'm not telling you something that you don't already know, or at least you should know. We elect people to represent us and our interests in our state governments and our federal government. So when Trump, and this is clearly an attempt to sway the 2026 midterm elections. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand what's going on here. You don't understand politics in general. I'm sorry. I'm not calling you an idiot or a moron, but I would encourage you that if you don't understand what he's attempting to do, you really need to put some thought in it and do some research and educate yourself, because that's essentially what he's doing. Because though it's not a rule of thumb, the pattern usually goes that when the election of the president, whatever party he happens to be, that party loses generally control of the House in the midterms, sometimes the Senate. It flips. I don't know the science behind it. I don't know. There are people smarter than me that could probably speak to why that happens. But that's generally the flow. Republican gets elected president 2 years later. Democrats control the House, possibly the Senate, or vice versa, or both. Yeah. And so, of course, we've got a Republican president, MAGA. We've got a republically controlled House, and we've got a republically controlled Senate. The House, they have a very, very thin margin, two or three seats, something like that. They have a little bit more of a margin in the Senate. And so Trump knows that the 2026 midterms are probably, at the very least, going to flip the House. And so he's doing whatever he can. I mean, he talks about election interference. He talks about rigging elections. He still claims to this day that the 2020 election was rigged. It was not. Now they're coming up with this nonsense that the Obama administration and officials were doing whatever they could, almost a coup d'etat, if you will, in 2026 with the whole Russia, the way Trump says it, when the documents clearly show that Russia did try to influence the elections through propaganda, social media, and what have you. But two things that it did point out, Trump's, his group, his campaign, did not collude with Russia, nor did Russia successfully flip any votes in our electronic voting systems. What they did attempt to do is, again, propaganda. That was validated by Marco Rubio in 2020. Now, we could get into a longer discussion on why they're bringing this crap up now. And of course, we know what it is. It's a distraction from the Epstein stuff because Trump cannot get that stink off of him when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. But back to the redistricting in Texas. And of course, so the Democrats, you've got to hold a quorum. You got to have 2/3 of the governing body in Texas, probably the same way in a lot of states. I don't know how it is state by state. But if you can't have a quorum, then you can't effectively vote on any kind of legislation. So the Democrats skedaddled, most of them to Illinois, some of them to New York, so that a quorum cannot be met. Therefore, the Abbott's government cannot vote on the redistricting because they literally, it's horrible. Well, not every Republican is happy with what's happening. There's an article over on Axios, Trump and Johnson face escalating GOP revolt on redistricting. And it goes on to say that a growing number of blue state House Republicans at risk of being drawn out of their own seats are speaking out against their party's mid-decade redistricting efforts. And the problem, the reason why they're afraid of that is because maybe, just maybe, the Democrats are starting to let their balls drop a little bit. Gavin Newsom, whether you love him or hate him, he's come out swinging in California and basically said, if Texas does this, then we're going to do it too. And we're going to basically wipe out all of the Republican districts because that's essentially what Texas is doing. Texas can make the claim that we're just trying to make it more a fairer representation of the state of Texas. That's a lie. That's not true. You look at the percentages of people that voted for Trump in Texas versus the percentage of people that voted for Kamala Harris in Texas. There's, I think, a 10%, maybe 8% difference. They're trying to claim that the representation is upside down or something like that in Texas. It makes no sense. So the comments represent a sharp break with President Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson, who both endorsed efforts in Texas and other states to carve out more Republican House seats. Democrats in states like California and New York have threatened to respond in kind by attempting to redo their maps. Caught in the crossfire are a cohort of blue state Republicans who tend to be more moderate than the average House Republicans and often represent swingier, that's a term, districts. So what's driving this? Well, Representative Kevin Kiley, who's a Republican in California, which is a swing district member, he took a shot at Johnson on Tuesday, saying in a Fox News interview that he, quote, needs to step up and show some leadership, end quote, on the issue. He continues to say that this is not something that is popular among members of our conference. He has introduced legislation to ban mid-decade redistricting in all states. Representative Mike Lawler, a Republican of New York, said Monday that he will introduce similar legislation after saying in a PBS News interview over the weekend, I don't think Texas should do it. Representative Nicole, oh God, I cannot say this, Maliotakis, Representative of New York, told Bloomberg in an interview, I don't care if it's the Republicans or the Democrats that are doing it. It's wrong and it should not be done. I agree. I don't condone Democrats doing it. If the tables were turned and a Democratic president told Gavin Newsom, I need you to redistrict California, we need more seats, I would disagree with that as well. It's not fair. It's not the way we do things. Another House Republican from a blue state, speaking on condition of anonymity, said, it's gross. It's not the way we should do it. You don't get federal money unless you succumb to this fair, nonpartisan way of drawing maps every 10 years because it is really fucking silly. That was a lawmaker proposed legislation to tell states. Politicians shouldn't be picking their voters. Republicans may be able to find support for their legislative efforts from centrists outside of blue states as well. Representative Don Bacon, who's a Republican in Nebraska, previously expressed concern about the mid-decade redistricting efforts, told Axios he will consider college legislation. Democrats, though, are skeptical about Republicans' motives. They noted their own failed efforts to outlaw gerrymandering in 2021 as part of a broader election reform bill that had no Republican support. Texas Republicans are forging ahead, of course, in their effort to squeeze as many as five additional Republican seats out of their map by packing Democrats into as few districts as possible. Because Dear Leader says that they are entitled, I don't know where he gets this from, but they're entitled to five more seats in Texas. You're not entitled to anything. Texas Democrats, with support from the National Party, have fled to Illinois, of course, in an effort to deny Republican legislators the quorum they need to pass the maps. Several blue state Democratic governors, including Gavin Newsom, California, and New York's Kathy Hochul, have threatened to gerrymander their states in response to the GOP efforts in Texas. A Johnson spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but in a CNN interview last month, the House Speaker expressed skepticism about the idea of cracking down on partisan redistricting. Quote, "The devil's always in the details. Some of these blue states have had independent commissions, and they have worked out so they've eliminated Republican seats in their states." I don't think that's true. I think an independent commission is probably the right way to go, which is, I know New York's got it. I think California may actually, I think I got that backwards. New York may have it, but California does have it. So Newsom's got to overcome that if he's going to fight fire with fire. Johnson also wholeheartedly endorsed Texas Republicans' redistricting push, stating on Fox News, "We will probably have a few more seats out of that, and of course, that's good news for me." Well, of course it is. You're a dipshit. And of course, Trump has been a vocal cheerleader of the Texas effort, urging GOP lawmakers to take a no-holds-barred approach to redrawing their map. I don't agree that Republicans should do it. I don't agree that Democrats should do it. Gerrymandering in any form, no matter which party it winds up favoring, is wrong. And the sad part is they're not even hiding what they're attempting to do. There's no subterfuge here. There's no hiding in the shadows. There's no backroom deals. You literally have a president coming out saying, you need to redistrict Texas because I love Texas. Texas loves me. And we're just entitled to five more representatives from the great state of Texas. He's saying the quiet part out loud, not hiding it. And again, like I say, I don't agree with either side doing this, but I do have to agree with some of the sentiment that the Democratic Party has been ineffective in their stance against MAGA. And I'm going to continue to say it's against MAGA. It's not against all Republicans. But honestly, if you are a Republican and you stay silent against anything that these boneheads are doing like this, then you're just as culpable as the assholes that identify as MAGA Republicans. So it's wrong. We shouldn't be doing it. Absolutely should not be doing it. We need fair. We need free. We need accountable elections. And all the data suggests, every time it's been looked at, that's exactly what we have. We do not have rampant illegal voting. We don't have electronic systems that are being altered to flip votes. Everything that is coming out of the MAGA Republican playbook of how the elections are rigged. What's the saying? Every accusation is an admission. Well, that's exactly what's happening. If anybody wants to rig the elections, and what we're seeing right now gives you the foundation of what I'm saying to be true, if one party is actually trying to rig elections, it's the Republican Party. Because why else would you come out and break form by telling a state to redraw your maps 4 years into a census cycle? It just makes no sense. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this Wednesday morning edition of The Morning Drip. Again, you can text me at 229-234-1307. And, we'll see how everything goes. So until next time, take care of yourself. Be good.